The word today is life. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. When God brings someone into His kingdom, He wants them to grow in faith. He strengthens them in their fight against sin and Satan. If we trust in God, He will give us victory over sin. Here to show how we can grow in our new life in Christ is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Life.
Last week, we began to talk about this new life which we have in Jesus Christ, and we talked about how the whole New Testament refers to it as being a miracle because God, the Holy Spirit, has brought us into a new relationship with God so that we now no longer serve Satan and unbelief, but we serve Him and glorify Him in all that we say and do. That's what a converted person, a true person who's been brought to faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, this new life isn't something that you can just carelessly do. God says we are to count the cost. In fact, Jesus asked His followers to count the cost. In Luke 14, He talks about the cost, which is a complete surrender to Him. In other words, if you just think it's going to be one easy little thing and you don't ever have to have a struggle on your hands, you're going to be very shocked and disappointed, because some people think just by turning their lives over to God that now they don't have to worry about ever being ill or ever having a problem or ever being tempted again. And of course, they're going to be very shocked, because the devil is still going to try to cause a battle to take place in your life. He doesn't want to give up on you. He has determined he's going to try to get you away from God. And so there will be this warfare, this battle going on. And it's a very serious battle. You know, the importance of realizing that God, the Holy Spirit, needs to live within you to give you the strength and the power to defeat Satan when he comes to tempt you. In fact, very often it uses the comparison between this new life in Christ and the corpse, or the deadness that we should have towards sin because we've been crucified with Christ. Now, a corpse doesn't respond to any stimulation, of course, because it's dead. And that's the condition that should be present in your life. By this new life, this power of the Holy Spirit living in you, there is to be response to God's will and being obedient to God's commandments and a willingness to serve God. And there ought to be a deadness, a denial, a defeat of anything that Satan tries to throw your way. He's going to try. He certainly will. He will not give up easily, but you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you and the strength in you by God's presence in your life to defeat him. Now, this new life is a continuous struggle. Don't assume it's ever going to go away. It's a continuous struggle until the day we are with God in heaven. You know, that doesn't mean you ought to go through life, you know, kind of in drudgery and saying, oh, I'm in a war and I just can't rejoice about anything. It's to be lived joyfully and victoriously, because this new life, you've been set apart from the world. You've been made holy by the forgiveness of your sins. You've been united with other people that are in God's family. So you have a fellowship of believers that pray with you, worship with you, and you have the picture that you are to be a courageous warrior, that you're to be constantly alert against the devil and his temptations, and joyfully acknowledging the fact that God is going to deliver you, and that the battle that you're in is ultimately going to be won for you by God. Christ defeated Satan. He even defeated death. And we are the victors. He has given to us his victory. So this is not a drudgery. It is a joyful battle, one that we know we are going to win. So this commitment to Jesus Christ and his followers that we join together in the church as we pray and sing praises to him, this whole new life should be illustrated, I believe, for us in a way that the parables do in the Bible. You remember the parable of the prodigal son? That's in Luke 15, chapter 15 of Luke, where the son rebels and he goes against his father and he wants to get his money. And so he goes and riotously lives and squanders all his money and in a sinful way has left the presence of the father. And finally, after a long time, he wakes up to the fact that he is really in trouble, that he has sinned, that he has sinned against his earthly father, and that he has certainly gone against his heavenly father, and so he returns home. It would be good to look at that whole parable again in Luke 15, and especially to notice how God, who is playing the part of the heavenly father here, of the father, receives his son back and forgives him and welcomes him, and what joy he has to see that his son has returned. You know, there's a real lesson to be learned here too by the older brother, who at first isn't sure he likes the fact that his younger brother who has returned is getting a party and a big meal and everything, you know, and he kind of is disgusted that he's been rather faithful there all the time at home, and he doesn't get a party like this. And so we can examine our hearts once in a while when we see a sinner repent. We may feel it's a little bit easy for that person to just come back into the good graces of God and into his mercy and once again be blessed. We should share the great joy for every sinner who repents and comes back to the Father. Read Luke 15 again. I just hope it'll be a fantastic review for you of this whole subject. Now, one of the things God wants to have happen in this new life that we have in Jesus Christ is that it grows so that we follow God's will, not because we're afraid or that we feel something would happen to us. You know, I bumped it into some Christians that say, well, we feel we better go to church Sunday morning because we're taking a trip in the afternoon and we'll probably have a car accident or a flat tire or something like that if we don't go to church first. You know, and it kind of reveals that their motivation for wanting to serve God or worship him is one of fear instead of one of love. I'm sure God isn't pleased with that. You know, we ought to check our motives and make sure we're on the right page, that we're not doing things, you know, in order to get favor with God, as though somehow he's going to treat us better if we do things that please him. One of the things that I think would help us a great deal in that is to double check our love. If we truly love God, then we will desire to please him. You desire to please those you love. You don't do things to hurt them or in some way to bring evil upon them. You know, death makes it personally impossible for a person to carry through with obligations and responsibilities. When you're dead, then you can't respond anymore. And that's what I'm trying to say here about being dead to sin. We're no longer obligated to serve Satan. We have a new choice, and that new choice is to serve God and glorify his name. A truly converted man is going to hate sin with all his heart, and even if that sin is presented by the devil as though it's going to be pleasant or thrilling or some way like that as a temptation, the desire of the Christian should be to avoid sin and not give in to sin, because it would be so miserable enough just for them to sin at all and give in to the devil instead of praising God and resisting the sin. It's really a fantastic thing when you learn that as you resist sin, God gives you more and more strength and more power, and you begin to feel the strength that he places in you. God wants you to become a strong man and woman of God so that your service to him is going to glorify his name. It is a fantastic privilege to be a born-again Christian. In fact, that's the only type of Christian there is one that has been born again. It is so traumatic, this conversion, that it's called a birth, a new birth, a second birth. And we use the simple word conversion or coming to faith. It is a whole new thing. You have to be born twice, in other words. You remember Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, where he tells Nicodemus, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus says, well, how can you do that? Can you enter into your mother's womb the second time and be born again? And Jesus has to explain it to him very carefully so that he completely understands. He says, no. The point is, you have to be born again of water. There has to be a physical birth, a breaking of the water, and then a physical birth. And then born of the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit coming into your life, converting you and making you a child of God. So there are two people in the world, physical human beings that have been born once, they're members of the human race, and spiritual beings, people of God who've been born twice, once physically to become a human being, and the second time born of the Holy Spirit, brought to faith in Jesus Christ, to believe and trust in him as their personal Savior, that's being born again. That's traumatic. That is the spiritual birth. And so that's the converted person, to be a born-again child of God. Now, how do the people that see you, your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, your family, how do they see you? Do they see you as merely another human being, another person walking around on this earth, or do they see you as a child of God? Do they see you as someone who's been brought to Jesus Christ, whose life has been totally changed in how they speak and how they act and what they do and say, so that people would know there's a Christian, there's someone who loves God, there's someone who serves God, and there's someone who is certainly planning on spending eternity with God in heaven.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.